signature hot towel finish. So you're not just ready, but super ready. Check in online today.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
Parish. Brad Carson is in studio producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles. No disruption. And I hope if you're a subscriber to the Daily Memphian that you read Jeff Calkins' column that posted late yesterday, but it's been a topic of conversation today. He poses the following question. Is it possible to be a fan of both Memphis and Tennessee? Jeff says impossible. I say quite possible. We'll get into it momentarily. First, let me set this afternoon schedule for you. 425, John Martin is my little buddy. Co-host of the Jason and Josh Show, weekdays 11 to 2. Covers the University of Memphis men's basketball program for The Athletic. Used to be with Cookie, now he's with Sam.
Yep.
He's going to join me around 425. We'll talk Memphis, Tennessee with John Martin. Finish that segment, I'll do four notable stories, 444, at which point we're going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, the Grizzlies got a nice win last night over Portland. Blazers were up 26-15 after the first quarter, but they quickly faded like a team that ate Gus's for lunch. Grizz outscored them by 20 in the final three quarters. Yeah. Win at 92-83. We'll talk about that around 444. Fun NBA game tonight on the schedule. Our king and savior, LeBron James and his L.A. Lakers are in Houston. Lakers are now 17-10, just one game out of first in the Western Conference standings. 15-5 in their last 20 games. So whatever needed to get fixed there, looks like it's mostly fixed. We'll talk Lakers-Rockets a little later on this hour. Good NFL game tonight, too. Chargers-Chiefs. But I hope you didn't use Stephen A. Smith to prepare you for it this morning, because he did not know what he was talking about on live national television. Just an incredible television moment. I'll play the audio for you just before 5 o'clock. In the 2019 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class was announced earlier today. Radiohead is in. That's cool with me. John Prine isn't. That's not cool with me. Stevie Nicks made history. I'll tell you why during four notable stories, 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cock is just like always in it. 525, as you know, on Saturday. A capacity crowd going to fill FedEx Forum for a basketball game between the third-ranked Tennessee Volunteers and University of Memphis Tigers. The man in charge of the Vols, that's Rick Barnes. He joined me on the show earlier this week. And the coach of the Tigers is, of course, Penny Hardaway. Penny Hardaway is going to join me at 525. Then we'll do dinner to go and we'll get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to. But I wanted to start with Jeff's column on whether it's possible to be a Memphis fan and a Tennessee fan. So Jeff poses the question, and then he provides his answer, and his answer is it's not possible.
Yeah.
And then he goes through all of the explanations somebody might have for being both a Memphis fan and a Tennessee fan, and then he just doo-doos on those explanations and says that they're not good enough. I saw him going back and forth last night with my buddy Joey. And I think Joey is an example, a perfect example of who could be both a Memphis fan and a Tennessee fan.
Yeah.
He went to both schools.
Mm-hmm.
He has degrees from both.
Yeah, I heard he actually was on the radio today, too.
He went to undergrad at one place and then grad school.
Makes sense.
At the other.
Yep.
And so when you spent time on both campuses, you've spent money on both campuses.
Yeah.
You possess degrees from both universities. I don't know why it's so crazy to come down on the side of, I like to see Memphis do well.
Yeah.
And I also like to see Tennessee do well. I do think that when it comes time to they're competing against each other, which is really going to be, you know, once a year in basketball at most, then you got to pick a side.
Yes.
You got to say, okay,
where am I at here?
I don't root against either.
Right.
But what's the preferable outcome?
Yeah.
And then you just go that direction.
Right.
But as long as Tennessee and Memphis are operating independent of each other, I don't know why it is that crazy for you to say, I like to see Memphis do well. I root for Memphis, but I also root for Tennessee.
Yep.
Now, I think people who publicly subscribe to this, like acknowledged it with pride, they were way more common when I was a kid. And the reason is because Memphis basketball is the biggest thing in the world. As far as, you know, the world was much
around here
bigger then.
Yep.
You didn't get Steph Curry on TV three times a week back then, or even Michael Jordan. Like, that's my point.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't, like, you know, in the year 2018, there is every prominent college basketball team plays basically every game in a way that is available to basically everybody in this country.
Yeah.
If you want to watch every Duke basketball game, you can live in Durham, North Carolina, or Denver, Colorado.
Right.
It does not matter. You can watch every Duke basketball game. And you can also watch every Memphis basketball game.
Yeah.
And you can watch just about every game of just about every team that would come down somewhere between Duke and Memphis. It's changed the sport in a variety of ways. For instance, in recruiting, there used to be a handful of schools that would charter, that would stay in the nicest hotels, and that would be on television all the time. So coaches would use this in recruiting all the time. They'd say, hey, if you want your mama and daddy to be able to watch you on TV, you got to come with us. We're on, you know, 25 of our games are on national television. And this other school over here, everything that they do is either not on TV or it's local. They got three national. Now it doesn't work. Everybody's on TV. If you want your mom and dad to watch you on TV, you just basically have to go to a Division I school in a top 7 or 8 league in the country.
Sure.
And mommy and daddy can watch you on TV no matter where you're playing and no matter where they live. The other thing it's done is it provides all of these television opportunities for viewers all over the country. You can watch whatever you want to watch. If you want to watch literally every NBA game, you can. If you subscribe to League Pass. If you want to watch every Major League Baseball game, you can. If you get the subscription. If you want to watch, like I said, every Duke game, Kentucky game, it is available to you. When I was growing up, it just wasn't like that. You know, in Memphis, you had to watch Memphis.
Yes.
Like, you couldn't watch every Duke game, every North Carolina game.
Mm-hmm. This is how I got into UNLV basketball. It was late night on ESPN.
So Memphis was the thing that you saw more than anything else.
Okay.
So Memphis was huge. Obviously, Memphis is back to being big again, but you can't overstate. It was hard to find people.
Yeah.
Based on my memory, it was hard to find people who cared even a little about sports, who lived in this market, who didn't love and root for Memphis basketball. I had friends who loved and rooted for Memphis basketball, and then also rooted for Ole Miss football, or rooted for Tennessee football, or rooted for Mississippi State football. You would hear that all the time. I love Tennessee, but I root for Tiger basketball. I love Tennessee football, but I root for Tiger basketball. And the reason it worked is because, for the most part, when I was growing up, Memphis basketball held a certain place in the market, and Memphis football was dreadful. Meantime, Tennessee football was Tennessee football, and Tennessee basketball was whatever. It had good years and bad years, but it was mostly just like, who cares? And same thing with Ole Miss basketball. Ole Miss football was still the Grove and all that, but Ole Miss basketball was like, whatever. So you'd have this incredible amount of people who would say, I'm an Ole Miss football fan, I graduated from Ole Miss, but I root for Memphis basketball. I'm a Tennessee football fan. I went to Tennessee, but I root for Memphis basketball. And I think that's still true to some degree, but to a lesser degree, because now Memphis football is a real thing. You don't have to go root for another football team. If you want to root for a successful football team, you can root for the Tigers. And Tennessee football and Ole Miss football are always going to be Tennessee football and Ole Miss football, regardless of whether they're good or not. But Tennessee basketball is a real thing now. You can root for that. You don't have to root for the Tigers. You can root for the Vols. And same thing with Ole Miss basketball. It matters in a way that I don't think it mattered 20 years ago. So where I would agree with Jeff is that it's less common today than it was a long time ago. But I still think it's possible to actually describe yourself as a person who is a fan of both Memphis and Tennessee, and especially so if you happen to, like Joey, have earned degrees from both schools. But while I was thinking about this, what I sort of realized about myself, and I suppose I've realized it before, but never in the context of this specific conversation, I'm in the minority when it comes to sports fans, in the sense that I have my favorite things. Like the sports team that I care most deeply about is the New York Mets. It's been that way my entire life, for better or worse. And the Mets have had rivals throughout those years. When interleague became a thing, it was the Yankees, and still is the Yankees to some degree. When I was very young, it was the Pirates, because there was no NL Central then. It was just NL West, NL East. Pirates were very good. They had Barry Bonds, Bobby Bonilla, Andy Van Slyke, all those guys. Became the Braves for a little while. These days, it's probably the Nationals. And yet, I've never hated another baseball team. I would want the Braves to lose because it would help the Mets, but I found no joy in the Atlanta Braves losing. I would want the Nationals to lose because it helps the Mets, but I love Bryce Harper. Most fans, I think, they identify these things they love, and they root for those teams, and then they are excited when those teams win, but similarly excited when whatever the rival is loses. In other words, there are Mississippi State fans right now who love when Mississippi State wins, but also love when Ole Miss loses. It means almost as much, if not the same. And I suppose there are Memphis fans who love Memphis winning and also love, like, they get a similar feeling of joy when Tennessee loses. I've never been like that. I grew up a Memphis fan, but I never rooted against anybody that would be considered a Memphis rival, best I can remember. And I suppose it's easier for me now to, like, not hate Memphis's rivals, because at least in the sport of men's basketball, I'm going to have a relationship with the people who run the programs at Memphis's rival, whoever you want to call Memphis's rival. If you want to go back to the 80s and say Louisville is Memphis's rival, so I root against Louisville. Well, I've known Chris Mack for a long time. I like Chris. I like his family. I want to see Chris do incredibly well at Louisville. And same thing for Tennessee, by the way. I've known every Tennessee coach dating back to when I first got the job at CBS, and not only known them, but had great relationships with them. I was incredibly tight with Bruce Pearl's staff at UT, and then tight with Konzo Martin, tight with Donnie Tindall. I've known Rick Barnes forever. I've had meals with him. He's always been great to me. He was on the show earlier this week. So I realize it'd be easier for me to, like, want to see Tennessee do well now or at any point over the past decade because, yeah, I know those guys. And why would you root against guys that you like? But the truth is I've never rooted against them. Like, when Arkansas was coming to Memphis, getting Memphis players and winning championships with them, I don't remember hating Arkansas. I remember admiring what Nolan Richardson had built and thinking it was cool to see Memphis players do well, even if I would have preferred them do well at Memphis. I thought it was cool just seeing Memphis players do well at Arkansas. Same thing now. I wish Dedrick and KJ were still at Memphis, but I love seeing them, Dedrick more than KJ, but I want them to do well at Kansas. When Markell left Memphis for Ole Miss, I didn't suddenly go, oh, he went to Ole Miss, that's a rival. I was like, man, I hope Markell goes to Oxford and balls out. And just totally detached from that, even a few years ago, like when Ole Miss and Mississippi State were both at the top of the polls in football, I know that if you're a Memphis fan, you're supposed to hate the regional SEC schools because they look down at you and whatever. And yet, I thought it was awesome that Mississippi State and Ole Miss were both awesome and both undefeated and both ranked at the top of the polls. You know, as a Mississippian, I was never an Ole Miss fan at any point in my life, even though I grew up in Mississippi. I was never a Mississippi State fan at any point in my life, even though I grew up in Mississippi. I was always a Memphis fan as a kid. But I never rooted against Ole Miss or Mississippi State. I never hated either school or any team at either school because I've always had friends. I mean, I've still got friends who are graduates of both schools. My wife's a graduate of Ole Miss. If Memphis is competing against these schools or any other school, I want Memphis to succeed. But independent of that, I'm like, yeah, I think it's – I live in Mississippi. I think it's cool when Ole Miss is doing well. I live in Mississippi. I think it's cool when Mississippi State's doing well. You know, I graduated from Memphis, but, you know, I largely identify with Tennessee. If you ask people around the country, like, who know me, they will tell you, oh, yeah, he lives in Memphis, even though I don't technically live in Memphis. But I like seeing Tennessee do well. I consider it, by extension, my home state. So I guess I'm just way different than the average sports fan. I root intensely for the teams that I want to win, like the Grizzlies, for instance. But I don't spend much time hating the Clippers or spend much time hating the Jazz or spend much time hating the Spurs. Like, I know when it was popular for Grizzlies fans to hate the Clippers. Chris Paul, F you, Blake Griffin, you're a bitch. I just never felt that way. I never hate it. I don't hate sports teams. And if I don't hate sports teams, then I don't really mind if they do well, as long as it doesn't come at the expense of the teams that I want to win. So I understand if you want to love Memphis and hate Tennessee and hate Ole Miss and hate Mississippi State. I get it. You're more common than I am. But I've just never been there. And though I wouldn't identify myself as a, quote, Tennessee fan, to answer the question in Jeff's column, I like seeing Tennessee do well. Like, I want Tennessee to be good at football. I think it's more interesting when they are. I want Tennessee to be good at basketball. I think it's more interesting when they are. I didn't hate them when I was a kid. I didn't hate them last week, and I don't hate them now, and I can't imagine hating them 5 years from now or whenever. It is an interesting dynamic, though. I'm going to talk to Jeff about it at 5 o'clock. John Martin, he's my little buddy, co-host Jason and John show. He'll join me next.
Dashing down the street with candles all aflame, by car, by horse, by feet, hooray for holiday games. Very small and bright, a scratchable delight. What fun it is to play and give holiday games tonight. Holiday games, holiday games, holiday instant games. Oh, what fun they are.
Give the gift of holiday instant games only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
The big guy's not going to like these.
Why not? They're slim, light, and easy to add on to gifts. He'll be over his sled when he sees them.
I don't know, Reggie. There's more to the Tennessee Lottery holiday instant games than you think. We're giving away real chances to win. And guess who has to deliver all that loot?
I don't know. The lottery?
Oh, good point.
This winter, get to work on our newest bundle of holiday instant games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, elf-approved fun. Please play responsibly.
How your teeth look can affect how you feel about yourself, and with today's advancements in dentistry, it's easy to change that appearance in just a few simple visits. Yes, you really can get a wider smile in less than 2 hours, and you won't ever dread going to the dentist anymore. Not after you check out the Smile Center at the corner of Poplar and Kirby in the Forum Building. The Smile Center, it is central to everything, and it's also comfortable and convenient. And this is Gary Parrish telling you, I'm speaking from experience. This is where my family goes. It's where your family should go. So if you're looking for a dentist, or if your dentist doesn't even know your name, call Dr. Mady Sadeghi. He and his staff, they make it really easy to take care of your smile, whether you're in need of a routine cleaning or something more cosmetic. That's the Smile Center at the corner of Poplar and Kirby. You can get more information at SmileCenterMemphis.com. That's SmileCenterMemphis.com, or call today to make an appointment. 309-1333, 309-1333. It's the Smile Center, taking comfort to a whole new level.
This is Gary Parrish from the Gary Parrish Show, weekdays from 4 to 6 here on 92.9 FM ESPN, and you know the holiday season is here. And one thing on lots of people's wish list is a computer. So if you know somebody like that and you're looking for the lowest prices and best service, go check my friends at Cooper Systems. You know Cooper Systems, Lee Cooper, Lauren Cooper. They've been with me for years, and you guys, listeners of this station, have helped grow their business because you keep going there when you need a new computer, a refurbished computer, or a custom-built computer because you know they have prices starting as low as $189. Cooper Systems has brands like Apple, HP, Dell, Gateway, Toshiba, Sony, and more. Desktops, notebooks, tablets, and printers, they really do have it all at Cooper Systems. And don't ever forget, if you need service on your computer, then Cooper Systems can help you too. In-shop diagnostic rates start as low as $24.99, so don't be frustrated by a bogged-down computer. Let Cooper Systems help get you cleaned up the way you ought to be. Go see them in the Mount Moriah office park or call them 360-9679 or visit them at coopersystems.com.
Good health insurance doesn't have to be expensive.
At Ambetter of Tennessee, our plans are better for your budget.
We provide care at a much lower cost.
And you may qualify for financial assistance to help pay for your coverage.
Sign up for the most affordable care today. Call 1-833-TN-BETTER. That's 1-833-TN-BETTER.
Ambetter of Tennessee is underwritten by Celtic Insurance Company. This is a solicitation for insurance.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-375-2621. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-375-2621 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-375-2621 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-375-2621.
It's Howie with Robert Irwin Jewelers. And Howie, what is Love's Crossing?
It's a new jewelry design that gets its inspiration from your journey together.
It's not about the destination, it's about the journey.
So true. What's great about it is it features cascading diamonds in sterling silver and in yellow gold, and it kind of curves around just kind of like life, and it's got twists and turns. It starts at only $199 and only at Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's the perfect gift to celebrate your life together.
Available only at Robert Irwin Jewelers and free finance.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase, cause all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made them wait. What the you expect when it got a cape in his
422, Gary Parish Show, we're on 92.9 FM ESPN. Talk Grizzlies in the next segment. Nice win over the Blazers last night. Blazers were up 11 after the first quarter. End up losing by 9. They faded like a team that had Gus's for lunch. Told you this was going to happen yesterday. Get into that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins at 5. Penny Hardaway, head coach Memphis Tigers, is going to be with me at 525. But right now, he's my little buddy, co-host Jason and John Show. Covers the Memphis men's basketball program for The Athletic. Used to be with Cookie Nights with Sam. It's John Martin making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM ESPN.
John Martin, what's up with it?
What's up, GP?
Just trying to get through it, man. You know how it is. I had a go to a four-year-old Christmas program today, so that was something else.
That's a blessing, really.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
It
didn't feel like a blessing.
I mean, Why not?
It was cute, but, like, blessings are more like, hey, I won the lottery. What a blessing. This was more like...
I mean, that's a big blessing.
It's a gigantic blessing.
Yeah, this is more like it's like an everyday blessing.
I guess.
They come in all shapes and sizes.
Let me be honest with you.
Yeah.
Kelly, if you got the show going at the house, turn it down real quick. They're not that great at singing, if you want to know the truth. all over the place, like just like getting the words mixed
you're
up.
Grading them like Simon Cowell.
like if this were The Voice, like I would not have. Is The Voice where you hit the button and you
yeah,
and
you
the
turn
chair
around.
And,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
your chair turns around? I'd have just I'd have probably just been sitting there with my back to the stage the whole time.
With your own son in the chorus.
No, but they're cute though. They're really cute. They're probably not gonna win a. I don't think Lil Reagan was in the. I don't think a future Reagan was in the program today. That's the point I'm trying to make. But either way,
they tend to have separated themselves by the age of four. Yeah.
Either way, I'm just trying to get through it. I'm just trying to get through it. Okay, so let me ask you this. You grew up a Memphis fan. You are similar to me in that you're a Memphian who grew up a Memphis fan who also graduated from the University of Memphis. As you were growing up or even today, do you hate whatever you consider to be Memphis rivals?
Do I hate them?
Okay, you get a certain level of joy when Memphis does well. If, let's just for the sake of the conversation, say Tennessee is the rival. Do you also get a similar level of enjoyment out of Tennessee not doing well?
Oh, no, not at all. No, that's faded big time. I think maybe back in the day. But even then, like, for me, I mean, I cared in the game, right? Like, I cared when they met. But, like, was I hate watching Tennessee games, you know, like hoping that they would lose? No, I really don't think it was that crucial for me. I mean, I know there are probably people out there who were like that. But no, I mean, especially now, you know, because everything's changed so much. I definitely don't care now. And you understand why that happens, right? I mean, you're in the business, like things are, but I'm just trying to think like back to those days, you know,
did you hate Cincinnati?
No, see, that's the thing. It was weird. Like, I came up at a time where, honestly, Gary, Memphis just beat the crap out of everybody. Like,
sometimes I forget how the difference in our ages. Like, when I was a kid, Cincinnati used to just beat Memphis's brains in. At least that's my memory.
Yeah.
And I remember not hating Bob Huggins. I remember, like, thinking, man, they're awesome. I remember being depressed every time. Like, they would just pound on Memphis. Being like, God, why'd they get him again? But I was like, man, Kenyon Martin is a monster. I didn't hate him. I admired him.
Right. And I just admired Memphis. I came up, and when I first remember watching Memphis basketball, like really getting into it, I was probably 11, 12 years old, and that was, you know, the Antonio Burks years, really.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, my God, being a college basketball fan is the best thing on the planet. You know, all we do is win. We only beat great teams. Like all we do is win 30 games a year, go to the Elite Eight, and beat awesome teams. You know, so, yeah, like there was really no competition for them. You know, when my formative years as a quote-unquote Tiger fan, they just beat everybody's brains in.
My earliest memories, the rival was Louisville. And I can remember, I think there were even bumper stickers. Like, my favorite team is Memphis and whoever's playing Louisville. Like, that was a thing that people would say. My favorite team's Memphis and whoever's playing Louisville. The point being, like, I want my second favorite team is the team that is playing Louisville because the only thing that makes me feel the same way Memphis wins do is Louisville losses. And I just don't ever remember really subscribing to that. I obviously wanted Memphis to beat Louisville. But if Louisville went off and won a national championship, I don't remember going, like, there are people, sports fans, who go, God, I'm a Cubs fan, and nothing bothers me more than the Cardinals winning a World Series. Or I'm a Yankees fan, and I would rather die than watch the Red Sox win a World Series. I've never had that. Like, I want my teams to do well, but it's never bothered me when their rivals did well, unless it came at the expense of my favorite team.
Exactly, it didn't affect me. You know, if it doesn't affect me, I don't care. You know, like you know, even the Raiders, like if the Broncos in the Super Bowl, you know, like I'm a Raider fan today. You know, and they obviously have rivals, but like if the Broncos win the Super Bowl, which they've done, like does it bother me? Does it make me upset? No, it doesn't. So maybe I just have no soul. I don't know, but no, I don't really. Again, as long as I mean. When they're playing each other, like when the Raiders are playing the Chargers and the Broncos, like, yeah, like, I get into it, right? But, you know, outside of that, I really just do what you do, man. You know, go knock yourself out.
So this is all rooted in Jeff's column, DailyMemphian.com, that published late yesterday, where he asked the question, can you be a Memphis fan and a Tennessee fan? He says no. I say, sure you can. Why not? Where do you fall on this?
No, I'm with you. I think when I was younger, when I was like 13 or 14, I would have said it's absolute blasphemy to consider, you know, to be both. But also, as I've gotten older and more mature, I understand, like, you can go to both schools. You know, both schools may offer different things. Like, you may graduate from, you know, Tennessee in your undergrad, and you may go to Memphis Law School and get a degree from Memphis. So, you know, there are certainly always exceptions, you know, and maybe you grew up in a household. Maybe you were a Memphian, you know, in 1998 or something like that. And, you know, Memphis football was terrible, but Memphis basketball was historically, you know, good. And so you rooted for Tennessee football because they were in the state and you liked Memphis basketball. So I think there are lots of I think there's a lot of intersection there, which I think is understandable. So, yeah, I mean, I think you can definitely be both. I think Jeff has polarized himself incorrectly on this one.
I think there's two obvious ways where you can be both. One is the point you make where maybe, you know, there are a lot of people who went to school at both places. And if you, like, went to school, like, you were at Memphis and you were a student, you were in the student section rooting for Memphis football or basketball, and then you end up in grad school at Tennessee and you're in the student section rooting for the Vol. You spent time on both campuses. You possess degrees from both universities. I think it's very easy, totally reasonable to want both schools to do well, to consider yourself a fan of both. The other way is, like, so I graduated from Memphis. I don't know where my kids are going to go to college, but let's just, for the sake of the conversation, say that Aiden goes to Ole Miss. Well, then, if he's down there and he's immersed himself in that campus,
yeah,
then I will want him to be able to experience, he won't care, I don't think, but if he did care, I would want him to be able to experience incredible sports things, so I would find myself rooting for Ole Miss, and it wouldn't, you know, I certainly wouldn't think I would be out of line or being a bad Memphis fan to even be down in Oxford in an Ole Miss shirt, like, rooting for the Rebels. Like, I don't know. I just don't draw these lines where other people draw them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, sentiment comes into play here a lot, you know, and like you laid out, you know, you may have a family member or a son or whatever. Like, you may one day form a connection to, you know, what you once perceived as a rival. You may one day form a connection emotionally or, you know, financially, right, if you're paying for a kid to go to school there, you know. So, yeah, like, I think you have to leave that door open. Of course, the other argument to that, people would say, well, you know, if you love Memphis, you wouldn't let your kid go to Tennessee or Ole Miss. So, but no, I think there is definitely a, you know, there it's definitely within reason, you know, for you or whoever to, you know, I'm not saying, I think Jeff's point is you can't not care. Like, you have to pull for somebody. But I think casually there are people who just want Memphis to do well or want Tennessee to do well or vice versa, you know, and they're not going to be upset one way or the other about who wins on Saturday.
Well, I think on Saturday you've got to come to a conclusion about what you prefer. What's the preferable outcome? Like, would you rather Memphis win this game or Tennessee win this game? But if you wanted Tennessee to win last weekend, like, I think this is a very normal, not crazy thing. I can totally understand if there's somebody out there who is a Memphis fan, but who thought it was cool seeing Tennessee beat Gonzaga last weekend, but on Saturday is going to be inside FedEx Forum rooting like crazy against Tennessee. Like, you can want good things for Tennessee, I think, but as long as they don't come at your expense. So a good thing for Tennessee is beating Gonzaga, but beating Memphis would come at your expense, so now I need you to take an L. I think that's a totally normal thing.
Jeff does not believe that's a normal thing.
Well, I'm going to take this up with him shortly after 5 o'clock.
I just think, you know, people, it's very controversial because people feel like Jeff is trying to tell them what to do. You know, Jeff's trying to tell them what they can and can't be. And I think that's a problem for people.
Yeah, I don't think we need Jeff Calkins telling us what we can and cannot be.
I mean, Jeff doesn't even watch Bills games. He's a fan.
That is the weirdest part about it. He follows the Bills, like, very closely. Message boards,
Yeah, listens to Buffalo radio.
But won't actually watch the games.
No.
I don't even know what the point of being a fan is if you don't want to watch the games.
I agree. I love Jeff. I owe so much to Jeff. But on this subject, I just don't know how much credibility Jeff has.
No.
Yeah, I'll take the
Well, journalism people in general, it's a different deal because you're in the business, you know?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you definitely get yourself. But I look forward to your conversation with Jeff. And, I hope he's listening. I hope he's getting, because I feel like it's going to be a little bit of a knockdown, dragout. And so I'm looking forward to it.
You did an oral history on the 2008 Memphis-Tennessee game.
That's what she said.
FedEx Forum. What did you learn about that game that you didn't know previously?
Well, first of all, that was the most fun I've ever had doing anything in journalism. Just talking to, everybody involved. Not everybody, but, basically the only guy that
First, let me ask you a question. How old were you when that game happened?
16.
Okay, so I actually do understand how that would be the coolest thing, because when you were a kid, what Chris Douglas Roberts and Antonio Anderson are to you is like exactly what Penny Hardaway is to me. When I was that age, Penny Hardaway was the guy. When you were that age, Chris Douglas Roberts was the guy. So to just fast forward a few years and you're on the phone just, chopping it up with these guys, that is probably a cool thing for the 16-year-old version of you.
Oh, no, and then, Antonio is, tweeting Supreme Bay, as a response to the story today. It was kind of surreal. It was if you'd have told 16-year-old John Martin that this is going to happen, you can't even conceive it. It's ridiculous. So that was cool just to be able to put that together. And I know people say oral histories are played out. I thought it actually worked well. I thought it made sense in that situation. And, I learned that Supreme Bay, formerly known as Chris Douglas Roberts, of course, he was hurt. He got hurt in that game, which he says nobody ever knew. Nobody ever knew that he got hurt in that game. He said he was on his Rocky Balboa-ish and that he was not coming out of that game. I learned that, according to Antonio Anderson, they went to 152 after the game because they were big club 152 fans. So they weren't that disappointed by it, I guess, in the end. But by and large, it was mostly just I learned about the memory and the opinions, right, of how people involved view that game and how, how Supreme and how the team looked at it, right? They hated Tennessee, and how Bruce and Steve Forbes with that looked at it, which was just like, listen, this is a big game, but we also have to play at Vanderbilt, which they later lost to.
Right.
We got to play at Kentucky and South Carolina. So it was just, it's just always fascinating, to hear people's points of view about such a huge moment for both programs, even 10 years later. So I really did enjoy putting the piece together.
If anybody hadn't seen it yet, you can go find it at The Athletic, or on, of course, John Martin's Twitter feed. Thank you, sir.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. That's John Martin. He's on Twitter, at John Martin 929. When we come back, Grizzlies got a nice win last night, beat the Blazers inside FedEx Forum. They were down double digits after one quarter, but then the Blazers faded like a basketball team that ate lunch at Gus's and it was starting to catch up with them. I predicted this exact thing would happen yesterday afternoon. We'll talk about it next.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Wing Guru is now open inside FedEx Forum for all events and has quickly become the talk of the building because people can tell the difference in something freshly made versus something frozen out of a bag. We're talking about a place that's ranked as the sixth best wing joint in the entire country, about a place that has award-winning sauces like Honey Suicide, Garlic Sriracha, Honey Gold, Spicy Taco, and Nashville Hot. We're talking about a place that fries its wings in premium oils, which is a difference you can taste. It really is terrific, which is why Wing Guru is growing by the day, and as a result, they need employees for all three locations right now, and they're offering scholarship assistance for juniors and seniors in high school or young adults wanting to go back to school. One Wing Guru location, that's on Mount Moriah. Another's in Bartlett on Stage Road, and the newest, again, inside FedEx Forum. You can apply in person at any of those locations or online at thewingguru.com, and if you're ever at home craving wings, understand that the Wing Guru is now delivering via DoorDash. You can order for delivery at thewingguru.com or place an order for pickup in store. That's the Wing Guru here in Memphis on the web, thewingguru.com.
Men, you're probably hearing a lot of talk about erectile dysfunction pills and how cheap and easy it is to treat ED with just a click or a call. Well, the Memphis Men's Clinic wants you to know that those little blue pills may not be for everyone. Over time, the responsiveness they promise can wear out and the nasty side effects can increase. In fact, many of our patients are guys who've become frustrated with the performance of those pills. At Memphis Men's Clinic, we go way beyond prescribing a simple pill. Our physicians offer a precision approach that delivers an effective dose of medicine designed to minimize side effects and prolong effectiveness, and works in minutes, not hours, like pills. Call 901-443-0304 to schedule your $99 office visit at the Memphis Men's Clinic. The appointment is free if our medicine doesn't work for you. Call Memphis Men's Clinic today, 901-443-0304, for treatment that goes beyond pills. Improve your performance. Improve your life.
When the deadline clock is ticking, an unreliable network can cost your business money. That's why you need Comcast Business. Our gig speed network is fast, and we go beyond fast with the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup, which means that even if something like construction accidentally knocks out the power, you can still upload that big presentation, email important clients, invoice customers, and not take a hit to your company's bottom line. For a limited time, switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond other providers. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offerings 12/31/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours and requires Comcast Business Internet.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-375-2621. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-375-2621 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-375-2621 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-375-2621.
Want to bet? Las Vegas is miles away. The all-new sportsbooks at Hollywood Casino Tunica and First Jackpot Casino are much closer. We're your 50-yard line behind home plate, center court ticket, to real odds, points, and over-unders. We've got all the action, the largest video screens, and the best prop bets in town. So come place your bets at the sportsbooks at Hollywood Casino Tunica and First Jackpot Casino. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
These success stories connected to Josh Hysaw are in the hundreds, if not the thousands. One such story, it belongs to Karen. She had a home in East Memphis. She wanted to sell it. So she did what I've been telling you to do for years. She listed it with Josh Hysaw. They agreed on a price. He went to work. They got 58 showings, multiple offers. The home ended up selling for more than the asking price. How did Josh Hysaw do this? He did it with his 45-day guarantee. It's a system for selling homes that creates more demand and gets homes sold faster and for more money than the average agent. The first step is Josh helping you price your home in a way that makes it attractive to buyers. You guys agree on a price, then he goes to work. Then if your home isn't sold in 45 days at that agreed-upon price, Josh will step in and make the mortgage payments until it sells, or he'll simply buy the home from you. You pick. It's totally up to you, and it is a risk-free proposition. Working with Josh doesn't obligate you to anything. If he isn't doing his job, in your opinion, even if your opinion makes no sense, you can fire him, no questions asked. Understand, the average agent in this market sells about 6 homes per year. Josh Hysaw sold 200 last year. So if you're trying to sell a home, use the only real estate agent I'd use if I needed to sell my home. It's Josh Hysaw, 461-8147 on the web, joshsellsthemidsouth.com.
The new fall goods are in at Suits U, so hurry in for the absolute best prices on suits from Calvin Klein, Ralph Lauren, Rossi Men, Steve Lance, Stacey Adams, and many more. Suits U has gorgeous sweaters and corduroy pants starting at $29.99, just in time for the cooler weather. Dress shoes from Stacey Adams, Giovanni, and Belvedere. 100% cotton dress shirts from $29.99. 4 Memphis locations, 4835 American Way, 6297 Winchester, 1223 Shelby Drive, 4835 Austin Peay. Mention this ad and get a free gift. At Suits U, we really suit you.
Dell's dedicated small business advisors give you tech advice and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. And now's the time to save on select business PCs with 8th Gen Intel Core processors until the end of the year. Maximize this year's budget and find the right tech solution for your business. Plus, get free shipping on everything. Visit Dell.com/business deals or call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross. She seen it made me always feel like a boss. She said I'm in the wrong hole, I said I'm lost.
Jeff Hawkins is your Orbital Commerce Daily Memphian. He authored a column, posted last night, insisting that it's impossible to be a Memphis fan and a Tennessee fan. I disagree. Hawkins and I usually on the same page about most things. I disagree here. We'll chop it up a little after 5 o'clock. 525, Penny Hardaway's head coach of University of Memphis Tigers. Might have heard they're playing the third-ranked Tennessee Vols on Saturday. Penny Hardaway is going to join me at 525. But right now, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 444. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 444. Story number one.
Grizzlies played the Blazers last night inside FedEx Forum. Fun game. Not so much early. Got down 11 in the first quarter, or they were down 11 after one quarter. But they stormed back.
Yep.
End up outscoring the Blazers by 20 in that final three quarters. They win 92-83. So what happened to Portland? Got off to a great start,
yep,
but then faded as the game progressed. Okay. Exactly like a team that had filled up on Gus's world-famous fried chicken in the afternoon. I told you.
You predicted this.
Buddy of mine had texted me, mm-hmm, and said that the Blazers were inside Gus's yesterday afternoon eating lunch. And mm-hmm, I said, Gus's is not, maybe they just don't know, but Gus's is not the type of thing you eat during the day,
no,
if you're trying to be your athletic best later on that same day.
Mm-hmm.
Gus's is the type of thing you eat when you go, you know what, I give up on this day.
You know? Not necessarily. If you want to take an out-of-towner, sometimes you might take them there.
No, you have to just give up on the day. You have to say, you know what?
Oh.
You have to say,
just not an athletic performance going to happen, that's for sure.
You have to say, all right, I deserve Gus's.
You do deserve Gus's.
And I'll get back to being better tomorrow.
Right.
But this day, as far as I'm concerned, every predictive thing I'm going to do today has been done.
Yeah.
And now I'm just going to enjoy Gus's. And then I'm going to endure whatever comes with enjoying Gus's.
Yeah.
I'll be regretful and I'll hate myself later on, but the experience in real time of enjoying Gus's world famous fried chicken, that's going to make it all worthwhile.
Yeah.
I've done that many times.
Yeah, it's the best.
But what you can't do is dive into Gus's world-famous fried chicken, mm-mm, on game day.
Nope.
Not when you got to play professional athletes later on.
They should put it in the visiting locker room.
They really should.
Put it in there.
Like,
chicken.
Hey.
Here you go, CJ McCollum.
Here, Rockets.
Yeah.
Hey, here, Rockets.
Here you go.
Welcome to Memphis. We'd like for you to enjoy all of the Gus's fried chicken you can enjoy.
Yeah.
Courtesy of us.
Have at it.
Fill your face.
Yeah, eat it.
Yeah, and then like James Harden comes out, he can't move.
That'd be great.
It would be. This is not an unwise strategy.
No.
That the Grizzlies should consider implementing. Mm. We know how it worked yesterday. The Grizzlies were playing the Blazers.
Yeah,
the Grizzlies were just a slight favorite. The Blazers have an All NBA backcourt.
Yeah,
in CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. The Blazers came out strong, but then in the second quarter, they started to look like a team that was dealing with the after effects of Gus's fried chicken.
Yeah.
By the third quarter, it was clear that they were. By the fourth quarter, they had no chance. 92-83 victory for the Grizz. So now they're 16-11 overall, 9-4 inside FedEx Forum, alone in six Western Conference standings. Two games out of first, but only 1.5 games out of ninth. It's wild. The difference between first place Nuggets and ninth and eighth place Kings is just 3 games.
About it.
The difference between first and ninth is just 3.5 games. The difference between 8th and 14th is just 2.5 games. So we're like 1/3 of the way through this regular season, and there are still 14 teams competing for playoff spots in the West. The only team that's not?
Suns.
Phoenix Suns are out of it.
They suck.
Everybody else is still in contention for a playoff spot in the West. Among them, the Grizzlies. Like I said, 16-11, and next up, a game against the Miami Heat. That's tomorrow night inside FedEx Forum.
Story number two.
I've got a fun NBA game tonight. Grizzlies aren't in action, but the previously mentioned Rockets are. They're hosting the Lakers. That is our king and savior LeBron James team. And remember how they got off to a rough start?
Yeah.
They've now 15-5 in their last 20 games. Wow. And they are alone in, I believe,
like second?
Fifth. They're only a game back in the West.
Yeah, they're right
there. They're one game out of first place in the Western Conference standings. Right. Again, we are about one-third of the way through the regular season, and LeBron's new-look Lakers, even though they've endured injuries, even though they got off to a bad start, they're just one game out of first place. I don't know that it means that they're going to finish close to first place, but, again, off to a bad start, but they're 15-5 last 20 games, and now they're in Houston. Now, Houston just beat Portland a couple of nights to go. So, they switched up their starting lineup, put Eric Gordon in it to try to give them a spark. I don't know if it's a long-term fix, but they are 1-0 now with Eric Gordon in the starting lineup. So if you want to check that out tonight, Rockets and Lakers, tips at 7. You can watch it on TNT. Rockets are a 5.5-point favorite.
Story number 3.
That's disrespectful, by the way, to our king and savior.
They're not making him a favorite tonight.
They're going to make LeBron James a 5.5-point underdog to a Rockets team with a losing record? That's disrespectful.
Rockets are... I'm surprised by the Rockets, but...
That's the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen, to do that to our king and savior, LeBron James. He is 15-5 in his last 20. The Rockets are 12-14. And you're going to make our king and our savior an underdog?
I can
see. Gets a team with a losing record?
They're on the road, Gary.
I'm going to max bet that right now.
They're on the road. That's
story number 3.
Sorry. I'm sorry. You love that guy so much.
He's our king.
You love him.
He's our savior. Yeah. So Stephen A. Smith, he talks on television. He talks on television every morning.
Yeah, I heard that. And I don't know why after listening to this.
No. I do know why.
Okay.
You mean tell you why?
He's fun.
I mean this sincerely.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, he's fun.
He's great at it.
Yeah.
He's great at talking on television. I don't agree with everything he says, but he is great at talking on television. Evidence being that he's become the big star that he's become.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you get asked to talk nonstop about all sorts of things, you can get mixed up a little bit, and he got into a bad spot this morning. Now, the audio.
Yeah.
And just so you understand what happened, he's on with Max Kellerman and Teddy Bruschi.
Live TV.
And they're discussing tonight's big Thursday night game between the Chargers and Chiefs. And he starts by mentioning Spencer Ware, at which point Max interjects and says, Spencer Ware's out. Spencer Ware's not playing.
Yeah.
And Stephen A. goes, you'll hear him, oh, yeah. But then... So then he starts to break down the game from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And it went like this.
I'm keeping my eyes on this matchup right here.
Spencer Ware is out.
I'm sorry?
Spencer Ware is out.
Oh, yes. I forgot. I'm sorry,
out
Max.
With
I'm
a foot.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He is out. But I'm thinking Tyreek Hill. I'm thinking Patrick Mahomes. I'm also looking at the San Diego Chargers on offense, and I'm thinking about Hunter Henry and the way that he's played this year and as effective as he's been. He's going up against Derek Johnson, and I got to keep my eyes on that because I'm looking at it from the standpoint. Listen, here's where I'm at with all of this. At the end of the day, I'm looking at Patrick.
Okay. Here's the problem if you didn't catch it. The Chargers are not the San Diego Chargers. They're the Los Angeles Chargers and have been for 2 years
now.
And
that's an honest mistake there.
You can mess that one up.
Yeah, like I do that with like Brooklyn or, you know, the New Jersey, you know, like sometimes.
Or the Charlotte Bobcats or the Charlotte Hornets. You can fall into that
one. I can kind of follow you there.
That one's no big deal.
Right.
He mentioned Hunter Henry. He was looking forward to the matchup between Hunter Henry and Derek Johnson. This is incredible.
This one's wild.
He's actually listening. He's actually explaining how he's looking forward to a matchup between. Looking forward to the matchup between Hunter Henry and Derek Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hunter Henry's hurt. And he's not like he got hurt yesterday.
Been out a while.
He hasn't played a snap all season.
That's brutal, Bo.
And he will not play
tonight. That's tough.
Derek Johnson.
Yeah. The other guy.
Had his contract voided by the Chiefs in February. He's not even in the NFL right now. So Stephen,
that's rough.
So Stephen A. Smith on national television, when asked to discuss the Chargers and Chiefs game tonight, specifically said he's looking forward to a matchup between two players who will not be in this game, one of whom isn't even in the NFL anymore. Like, that's incredible.
I mean, that's a hell of a job.
And I say this as somebody who talks on television. That is totally avoidable.
Yes.
Because you are never going to be asked to talk about something without them first telling you you're going to be talking
you
about
know.
This.
You know!
So you know hours in advance.
Yes.
And so you just make this very simple. Like, I swear to God, my job is not to go on TV and talk about the NFL, but if you ask me right now for some thoughts on the Chargers and Chiefs
game tonight, think of the matchup tonight, Gary?
Well, I'm really looking forward to this Kansas City team that is among the most explosive offenses we have in the sport in any other season, led by the incredible young quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. He's gotten a lot of attention over the past week because of the performance last Sunday when he, among other things, is making no-look passes. It's like he's a basketball player, except he's not. He's a football player. He's being compared already to some of the all-time greats, and I really do believe that at this point, he's probably the most exciting football player we have at any level of football. So anytime you get Patrick Mahomes on national television in primetime, that's a big, big deal. That is must-see television. Now, they're obviously a different football team because of the domestic violence situation that emerged in recent weeks. And now they're down an incredible running back. But as long as you've got Patrick Mahomes, you've got an opportunity to win a football game. And I can't wait to watch this one tonight.
Focus on some highlights that you understand can, you know.
Instead, he focuses on a matchup between two players that ain't got nothing to do with the game.
Well, and when you first sent me this clip, I thought, do I not know who these players are? And then I'm like, they're not playing.
Sometimes in studio, we'll be asked very much on the fly.
Yeah.
Like, we'll be in a commercial break,
mm-hmm.
and a producer might say, hey, our late game is Fresno State UNLV. Let's tease it.
Mm-hmm.
GP, you got anything on Fresno State or UNLV? And the answer might be no.
Right.
And I say, give me 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then you can just boot. I can go click on a couple of things.
Right.
And I can immediately, like, find something.
Gear up for this.
It's not. This is my point. It's not hard to sound like you know what you're talking about on television.
Yeah.
You just have to avoid talking about things you know nothing about.
Right.
Stick to what you can actually know. So if somebody were to hit me right now, GP, we're coming back in 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. We're going to tease Fresno State UNLV. Can you give us some? If Zucker asked you about Fresno State UNLV, you got something. I'll say yes. I'd immediately go to KenPom, and I would
see where they're at.
I would find some number there that stands out in some particular part.
Yeah.
And so I might find out, this is not true, but just play along.
Sure, I
might find that Fresno State is an incredible offensive rebounding team. That's all I need to know to talk for 20 seconds on this. So we come out of break. Zook says, and our late game is going to be UNLV Fresno State. That's going to be originating at the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
GP, what are you looking forward to tonight? I say, Zook, well, the issue here for UNLV is that Fresno State is one of the 20 best offensive rebounding teams in the country. And so I know that Marvin Menzies has got a good team, and they are the favorite tonight. But keep an eye on that, because if UNLV cannot keep Fresno State off the board, that is how an upset happens, allowing the inferior team to get extra shots, extra shots, extra shots. So then suddenly you look up, 4 minutes to go in the game, you're down, and you're not down because you're not shooting good percentages. You're down because they've taken 14 more shots than you. So keep an eye on that. That's what Marvin Menzies has to stress. Keep Justin Hudson's Bulldogs off of the offensive glass. And if UNLV does that, they're going to be fine. It's all you got to do.
You're there.
It's all you got to do. And people go, ooh, Parrish knows what he's talking about. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
I just did that. And so for Stephen A. to find himself in that situation this morning, that was wild. Hopefully tomorrow morning goes better.
Story number four.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced its 2019 inductions earlier today. It is Stevie Nicks, Janet Jackson, Radiohead, The Cure, Def Leppard, Roxy Music, and The Zombies. John Prine did not make the cut. Mm. That disappoints me. Radiohead did make the cut.
Yep.
I dig Radiohead. They're the Jeff Calkins lead in music.
What do you think of Def Leppard? Being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Def Leppard.
Here's what I would say. I don't. Like Def Leppard came to play FedEx Forum a few years ago, maybe within the past year or something. I didn't go, had no interest in going.
Yeah.
But undeniably, there was a time where Def Leppard was the biggest band in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it coincided with MTV videos becoming a big thing. So I can remember Pour Some Sugar on Me was a massive hit.
Yes. Pyromania thing.
There was a time where you'd get out of school and then they'd do like the top 10 countdown videos. So you'd watch it every single day.
Yeah.
And it felt like for 6 months, Love Bites was number one.
Yes.
So like these songs, if they came on right now, I'd still know every word, even though I haven't heard them in 20 years.
Sure.
30 years, maybe. And so I'm not a Def Leppard fan, but that is a museum to recognize some of the biggest artists in the history of popular music. Def Leppard probably belongs. Stevie Nicks, by the way, she becomes the first female to ever be inducted a second time. A lot of male artists have.